And we're starting the Ar HaChaim Shir Parshas Nitzavim. And this is actually the last Ar HaChaim Shir of the year. We will be continuing Ar HaChaim a little bit into the coming year. To be able to finish off, I guess, Vayelech Hazinu, and we'll try to figure out how the Zos HaBracha fits into all of that. We'll see if we can handle that also. Just by definition, since the year is ending Sunday night, so this is the last Ar HaChaim Shir of the year, by definition. With Rosh Hashanah approaching so rapidly, it's always appropriate that we read Parshas Nitzavim, or Nitzavim Vayelech, right before Rosh Hashanah, because within Nitzavim, it's Parshas Tshuva, and certainly it's something which is appropriate for this time of year, so I wanted to look in particular at the Ar HaChaims on the Parshas Tshuva, and bring up some of the Yesodos, some of the foundations of Tshuva that he speaks about. In our edition, it's page Kuf Yud Gimel, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Aleph. And the Psukim, all Psukim are beautiful, but particularly moving Psukim. V'haya ki yavoi lacha kol advarim ha'ilah, will come to pass when all of these things come upon you, they befall you, habracha v'aklala, ashenasati lefonecha, the blessing and the curse, that which I put before you, ashivosa elu vavecha, v'chal agayim asher idichacha Hashem elokecha shama. You should place the following notion on your heart among all of the nations that God has scattered you there. V'shavtar Hashem elokecha, you should come back to Hashem your God, v'shamato v'kola, listen in His voice, to do everything that I tell you to do today. You, your children, with all of your heart and with all of your soul. And then Hashem will bring you back. God will return your captives and have mercy upon you. Even if you've been scattered to the corners of the heavens, Hashem is going to bring you back. Umal Hashem Elokecha Sevavcha V'yaslevav Zarecha. God is going to circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. V'ato Sashu V'shamato V'kal Hashem. And you'll come back, listen to the voice of Hashem. V'yosisos Kol Mitzvoso V'shanot V'mitzavcha Yom. And perform all of His mitzvahs which I command you today. The Parsha of Tshuva, describing how Tshuva will bring about the Kibbutz Golias, that Tshuva is going to bring about the restoration of the captives back there at Yisrael and the ultimate goal of the redemption. So Ar HaChaim has a number of beautiful ha'aras on this parasha. So it starts off with the following. The Hayochi Avo Alecha Kol Advarim Ho'eleh. Plus it starts off in the beginning of the parasha saying that it will come to pass when all of these things befall you, the bracha and the klala, the blessing and the curse. Tzarech L'das, Lama Hutzarech Lama Kol Advarim Ho'eleh. The phrase Kol HaDvarim Ha'ilus, you know, all of these things seems entirely superfluous. It will come to pass when the bracha and the klala befall you. Hayok Yavoi Lecha Bracha V'Aklala. What's Kol HaDvarim Ha'ilus? Lo Hismik Ba'omok Yavoi Lecha Bracha V'Aklala Shinosati L'Fonecha. Ulai, maybe the meaning behind Kol HaDvarim Ha'ilus is as follows. Shechavin Oderech Omram, the seventh brachos. Chazal famously say in the Mishnah at the end of brachos, that a person is obligated to make a blessing even when bad things befall him, a dino emes, the same way that he makes a blessing when good things befall him, a tov ha-meitiv. Amidu b'gemar, the Gemara there explains that what that means is not just kishem. Kishem just as doesn't just mean that just as there's a mitzvah to make a bracha on good things, so too is the mitzvah to make a bracha on bad things, but it means the manner in which I make the bracha should be synonymous. That l'kabel hara, the person is obligated to accept the evil things that happen with simcha, with joy. Kederach shesomeach al hatova, just as he's happy for the good things that befall him. Lu omro v'hoya shulostrum simcha. So says the Ar HaChaim, that teaching of Chazal is hinted at here in the pasuk. Why? Because the Ar HaChaim loves this Gemara in Megillah, you know, where the Gemara distinguishes between Vehaya, which is a lashon simcha, and Vayehi, which is a lashon tsar. It says Vehaya chiyavo alecha kol advar moele. It will come to pass. Vehaya is lashon simcha. When joyously all of these things come upon you, habracha vehaklala. We understand that when the bracha comes upon us, it's cause for joy. But says the Archaim, the Pasuk is telling us that even when the Klola comes upon us, it's equally cause for joy. Right? When the Pasuk says that all of these things befall you, it's lumping together the Bracha and Klola as being both the Haya, as being both things which we should greet the Simcha. Tekavlein the Simcha v'ashvo yachad. Habracha v'aklola. Accept the bracha and the klola simultaneously with the same degree of simcha. Had the pasuk said when the had it omitted the phrase as advarim kol advarim ha'ele, ha'yanishma akosav azera derek v'ha'ya shu simcha kiyavo alech habracha. You might have thought that the v'ha'ya, the simcha, only applies to the bracha. V'ha'ya ki yavo eilecha habracha kama. So then you're happy. Well, v'haklava shirasati lefanecha, then I'm not happy. Right? I could have read the pasuk that way. So when the phrase kol advarim ha'eile connects the bracha and klava and says that they're both equally subject to the v'ha'ya, which starts off at the beginning of the process. Of the
interesting. We're on the same level. You have Lashon Simcha. It's funny. It's your love game.
Right. Right. It's a beautiful horror. And it's the Haya. It's the Osios of Havaya. Right. And that's perhaps why, you know, it's connected to the idea of Simcha.
The process Rei, it says Rei and Yoshi, Bracha Klola. The Bracha has a Klola and a Klola has a Bracha. Indirectly.
No, so I think there at the beginning of Re'e, it's saying I'm placing two halves, the bracha and the klola. Right? That's a bracha, you know, the bracha will come down if you listen. It's a klola in los ishmo. The klola is, you know, it's a fork in the road.
It's what David made a distinction. Yeah. Every single klola has a bracha to it, and every bracha has a klola to it.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so that's right. You know, so you're saying pshat, you know. Like the bracha and the klala together. Right.
My colleague used to say, like you're talking about tshuva, he says, Re'e Yonoichin, take a look at Yonoichin, yes, look at it.
Right.
He's good, and there's nice line, I'm bracha, otherwise.
Right. So that's the first, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to
It's interesting. So Chazal indicated the Gemara Pesachim that La'osid Lava, right? You know, we're going to make Hatov Ametiv even on quote unquote bad titles. You're right. I mean, look, Sof Kol Sof, we recognize the difference between the good tidings and the bad tidings. The Gemara says, again, I wouldn't say it, but you know, the Gemara says. That you know, the kishem, you know, kishem chayv al varach al rov, kishem shmavarach atalva means besimcha. The Gemara quotes Rava, who says that idea. There's a Rambam Pirush HaMishnayos there in the ninth parak of Brachos, where the Rambam talks about how could this possibly be? What kind of act, you know, again? How can you expect somebody to accept bad tidings besimcha? The Rambam is narrative about how, you know, if you really have the right hashkafas, you can do it. You know, I mean, again, it's easier said than done, but, right, because self-call-self, you know, we do experience it as the Chomsky used to say, bitter. It's not bad, everything's good, right, but it's bitter, it's difficult for us, but even the bitter things, we're supposed to try to recognize that it all comes from our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and there's an element of symptom how we accept it. I got easier said than done. I mean, if the Gemara didn't say this, I would never say this on my own, but the Gemara says it, you know. It's not a far-fetched interpretation of the Gemara either. The Gemara says the Kishem is the symptom. Right. I mean, again, I guess it's a different degree of Simcha, you know, maybe. It's not exactly the same thing, but similar enough that you can apply the Hayat to both. So that's his pshat. Again, beautiful pshat that Kol HaDvarim HaEla teaches us that both the Bracha and the Klala are supposed to be accepted by Simcha. perhaps we could take the Aruch Haim's idea one step further. The Aruch Haim himself doesn't say this, but perhaps we can expand upon his idea with the following. Why is this notion of Chayav Adam Levarach Al Arah, Kishen Shem Levarach Al Atova, why is it here in Chumash? So perhaps the Chumash is telling us that the beginnings of Tshuva are internalizing this idea that even on the klala you're supposed to react to simcha. If a person can react to the simcha to a klala, so then he can be zocha to the beginnings of tshuva, which is described over here. That's a first step in the direction of tshuva. It's a big step in the direction of tshuva. For a person to say that even the bad things which are coming upon me are ultimately things which I should be joyous about. Why should I be joyous about them? Because it's kapar. It's an expiation of all the sins. Everything that I experience in life, which is difficult, you know, again, as difficult as it is, it's mechater. And recognizing that is the first step in the road towards tshuva. So that very recognition is the first thing that launches the parasha of tshuva. That's the aura number one from the Aruch Haim in this parasha. The aura number two, the next paragraph. Od hitzatzti vo'ere. Manamo chibas hakodesh, asher chibay velokenu olsana. A beautiful lashon the Aruch Haim has. I took a look in this parsha, and I saw the tremendous love that our God has for us. Halo tira ki bezichron abrocha yigia osa olenu. Yomar ki ovo alecho habrocha. Bezichron haklala omar vehaklala asher nosati lefonecha velo alecha. It's already a little bit more of a derekul. It's not, I don't know if the first one was Bashir Pshat and the Balsagiv, but I mean, it's a little bit more of a derekul, where the Aruch Haim says the following. He says, as much as the Pasuk, I just cut through saying that the Pasuk equates the Bracha and the Klala, but if you look at it a little bit deeper, there's a little bit of a difference between the Bracha and the Klala. And you have to put the Kama in a slightly different place than the way it's traditionally placed. Says the Aruch Haim, let's read the pasuk as follows. V'ha'yachi yavo alecha kol advarim ha'eler ha'bracha kama yaklala shenosati lifonecha. So if you read it that way, so note the difference between the bracha and the klala. The bracha comes upon you, alecha. The klala is simply lifonecha, it's in front of you. Meaning, the bracha, although you're supposed to receive the bracha and the klala in the same fashion, God doesn't bestow the bracha and the klala upon you in quite the same fashion. God puts the bracha on you. It envelops you in a much greater sense. The klala is lifonecha. It's there. It's near you. You feel it's influenced, but it doesn't quite envelop you in the same sense. Even when Hashem sends a klala, it's not alecha, it's only lefonecha. See the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reading through the lines. And yeah, then this is a little bit more of a vertical, because the Pasuk of Chat, you just got to say that the whole point of the Pasuk is that the bracha and the klala is the zel v'zach. Mamash exactly the same, right? But here, by putting a little bit of a period, a little bit of a distinction between the bracha and the klala, and he points out, between the lines, the merciful nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
What's considered as a klala?
I'm sorry?
What is it considered as a klala? Illness? The illness is certainly enveloped in your body, in the entire person, so it couldn't be any more than that. So it's certainly a klala. That's a klala.
I'm not sure.
Roughly more
benevolent than it was, because it roughly how you perceive them, because well, someone's
strange, sick,
thing,
that's not in front of them, that's actually
them. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to explain it. No, I don't know. Two more points in this passage. So the next paragraph, Habrachov Yaklova. Right? It's middle paragraph on the right hand side of Kufi Dalit. So when all of these things come upon you, the bracha on the klala, pirush, lami boy ba'od hatova alemin here shiru v'chazru b'tshuva shumerutzim el Hashem. You know, it's one thing to say that if the Jewish people sin during a time of plenty and realize their sin and then come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God will accept their tshuva. But the Torah is telling us more than that. Ela afilu achar shenimasu b'nei Hashem v'shirach bom charonapro. What happened? The Jewish people were subject to the klala. What's the klala? So again, maybe the answer to the previous question is that the klala is affecting the nation as a whole. Right? He's not talking about the individuals being affected by a klala. He's saying that the nation as a whole is affected by the klala. The galus, they're being sent out there, you know, they're being thrown out of the land. So why did the Jewish people do tshuva? Because they got chucked out of Eretz Yisrael. The klala befell them. So one might think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, okay, tough luck, and I threw you out and now you come to me, I expelled you from the school, and now all of a sudden you thought that maybe it wasn't a good thing to firebomb the lab, you know, and destroy everything. I'm just taking a random example, right? You know, once you throw it out of Eretz Yisrael, once the galus takes place, so maybe that's too late. No, the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that even though the klala has befallen you, you're mamish in the midst of the galus among the goyim, and that's when you first start thinking about doing tshuva. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even then, when you're most, when you're disgusting on some level because of everything that you've done, I'm still going to take you back. One more point. Yesh lahoyer, the next paragraph. Here's this parasha is talking about tshuva. Right? So, Lechara, the flow of the parasha is, as he just said, that when all of these terrible punishments come upon you, and you're in galus, and you want to come back, I'll accept your tshuva. So being that that's the case, why does he even bother mentioning the bracha? When all of these terrible things that I just talked about in the first parasha in Nitzavim, Gafris v'melech sveifa cholaitza lo sizara v'lo satsmiha, those all the terrible things that I mentioned. When that happens, so then, you know, you have an awakening and you'll come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So where does the bracha fit in? The whole point is that the Jewish people experience the bad times and now they're coming back. Lama tzrach lama ha-bracha? Kibir shadavar asav ha-tshuba humara ha-klava. Right? The focus should have been on the klala exclusively. Could be that the pasuk is telling us that there are two ways for a person to come and do tshuva. Who? Kiaskil bativo maisav lifnei Hashem baruch hu habrocha asher tisovivenu the eis ashur yosur mini arach hachayim haklala asher tivueyu. Archive is a very interesting way of reading the pasuk. I think this is how he's doing it. The Jewish people have sinned, and they've been stricken by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all kinds of terrible ways, the way it's been described earlier in the parasha. So there are two things that are motivating you to do tshuva. One is the klala. Now the klala actually happened. But another thing is the bracha, not the bracha that happened, because obviously the Jewish people were punished for their misdeeds. The bracha is the potential of bracha. It's not enough to get the Jewish people to come back because of the fact that they were punished, that they experienced the klala. But one way to get us to come back is to hold out the carrot, so to speak. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say to the Jewish people, you know, if you come back, not only will you eradicate the klala, but you'll actually get brachos. Right? So v'hayoch yavoh alecho kol advarim ha'ele kama, when all of these bad things befall you, so ha'bracho v'yaklala shenosati lufonecho v'ashevoso elubavecho, you should contemplate the fact that coming back will bring with it a bracha. Right? So, again, just to extrapolate a little bit from this arachayim, our Chaim is telling us that there's a notion called the carrot and the stick. Right? When people have fallen into the lowest depths and you want to try to bring them back, try to get them to do tshuva, one way to get them to do tshuva is to knock them over the head and say, you see what happened? But another way to get them to do tshuva, and perhaps, you know, more effective, is to tell them, look, if you do come back, look at the incredible things that are in store for you, look at the tremendous brachos that are out there, and to use that positive reinforcement as a way to try to bring the person back. Another beautiful Orach Chaim, where he talks a little bit at length about the continuation of this parasha. I want to take a look in Pasuk Gimel. Umol Hashem Elokecha. God is going to circumcise your heart and the hearts of your children. By the way, and this is one of the classic Ramazan for Elul. Es Levavcha V'es Levav. Right, so Hashem Davis Elul, you know, so that didn't get out in this Pasuk. Ask the Arachayim as follows. Yesh lahoyer. Achar sh'amar l'maylo v'shavta ar Hashem v'shamata v'kolo. Ma'amokam lomar odu mol Hashem. You know, if you look in this parasha, says the Arachayim, as we're going to see, there are at least three times, not quite the beginning of Pasuk Gimel, but soon after the beginning of Pasuk Gimel, off the top of page Kuf Tesvav. If you look in this parasha, says the Orach Chaim, the parasha of Tshuva, there are at least three phrases that describe the Jewish people doing Tshuva. It first says, "V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha," in Pasuk Beis, you should come back to God. And then, in Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Vav. This really should be Pasuk Vav. Okay, here it's, I'm sorry, it's, yeah, it should be Pasuk Vav. For some reason, they left that to Vav when they printed it over here. Then later on in Pasuk Vav, Umol Hashem Elokecha Sevav Chavias Levav Sarecha. God is going to circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. La'avos Hashem Elokecha B'chol Levavcha B'chol Nafshu Chavu An Chayecha. Right? In order to cause you to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does that mean? I mean, the Jewish people already did tshuva earlier in the parasha, so what's this additional layer of God circumcising our hearts? I thought that was accomplished through the tshuva which we did. Right, so there's some second layer over here, but what is that? How do you define that? And then in Pasuk Ches, the Atos Oshuv, right, you will come back, Mishramata B'kol Hashem, and you will listen in the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that also, that sounds like the Jewish people are doing tshuva. We've been there, we've done that already, right? So what's the repetition? So by the way, L'gabe Umol Hashem Elokecha, there's a famous Ramban over here, when the Ramban says that La'osid Lavo in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to eradicate the Yetzer Hara. And that's Umol, that's, again, like Yaakov mentioned, that's Umol Hashem Elokecha, L'vav Zarecha. You're going to come back and do tshuva, so we know what tshuva is. But then God is going to bring about a total transformation of the very nature of our human makeup, where we're no longer going to have to struggle with this Yetzer Hara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to eradicate, he's going to shech the Yetzer Hara, as the Gemara tells us in Sukkah. You know, so that's Umol Hashem Elokecha Slevav Chavias Slevav Sarecha. The Achayim doesn't work with that Mahalach of the Ramban. He says a different Mahalach, explaining the repetition in the Pesukim. So first of all, what's Umol Hashem Elokecha? Odu Ani Sha'omer Ha'ol Acharkach V'Ato Soshu. Right, and then it says later on in the same Pesukim, Pasuk Ches, and you will come back. Shemir Shema Shekabal Adayim Ugiyam L'Tshuva. Sounds like what happened before was not Tshuva. Zeh Eino. Ki Achar Shemal Libo Li'Avos Hashem B'chol Libo B'chol Namsho. After he's already circumcised his heart to love God with his whole heart and his whole soul, Eino Chad Tshuva Gedol L'Mizol. What more do you want after that? What? Right, it's interesting that he doesn't really seem to relate to that. He says, Acher Shemol Libo, right? It's not Mol Libo, Acher Shemol Hashem Libo. Right, so again, that fits in more readily with the Ramban, that Mol Hashem Elokecha is some kind of divine act to remove the Yetzer Hara. Again, for reasons I don't fully understand, the Orach Chaim is not really focusing on that difference between God doing the circumcising and our doing the circumcising. That's the interpretation. It means God will help you you know, accomplish this. Again, you know, clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being involved in some way. Okay, we feel Mashi Pirash Nivashis Kisavro Ben Yinina Brothas Ben Yinina Klalos Sheish Gimel Devarim Klalios V'mitzis Hashem. I already, to try to answer this, says the Arachayim, I already explained back in Parshas Kisavro that there are three basic categories within the ways we serve Hashem. Echad hi Esa Katara, one is Torah study. Sheidish Shmir is Mitzvus Lo Sa'aseh. Second is keeping the negative commandments. Shlish is Kiyum Mitzvus Sa'aseh. Third is keeping the positive commandments. Vezekish Shabbat Lomar Tikkun HaTshuva Sidur Shloshtav. So the three descriptions of tshuva here in the Perek correspond to the three types of mitzvos which the Jewish people have to do a separate tshuva on. There's a separate tshuva for each category of mitzvos. Keneged tshuva Talmud Torah Amar tshuva Rishon v'shavta Hashem v'gomar Omer v'shamata v'kolo shu Talmud Torah Pasuk Gimel Pasuk Beis rather. It says, "V'shavta Hashem Elokeach." You should come back to Hashem. V'shamata v'kolo. You should listen to His words. How you listen to His voice? How you listen to His words? That's by Torah study. Lo hizkir imo davar acher. Nothing else. You come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not necessarily doing the mitzvahs, but at least you're learning. And v'zori ha'scholas ha'tshuva shetzorach hashav asos. Tshuva begins with Talmud Torah. V'omer kenegdo v'shav Hashem v'shvuzcha v'shav v'kibetzcha v'shka omram shebizchus eisek ha'tora yisrael nigolim. And the schus of limar ha'tora, says the Aruch Chaim, is enough to launch the geula and bring Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael, even though the Jewish people have not really done tshuva on their failure to do mitzvahs, whether lo sa'aseh or ha'aseh. It's a fascinating idea in the Aruch Chaim. Because what the Aruch Chaim basically is saying is that the first road to tshuva is learning, even without doing mitzvahs, right? And that limud haTorah is enough to bring Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael, even though the Jewish people are not really doing the mitzvahs the way they're supposed to. He doesn't quote this, but perhaps this is where the Aruch Chaim learns the Medrash, the beginning of Eicha Rabbah, famous Medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Halavai Osi Ozvu B'sarasi Shomaru. Halavai that the Jewish people abandoned me and kept my Torah. What does it mean to abandon Hashem and keep the Torah? Perhaps, not clear that this is what the Medrash means, but perhaps the Aruch Chaim understands that they keep the Torah in terms of its study. Right? How likely the Jewish people should still learn Torah, even if they abandon me, i.e. they don't do the practical mitzvahs. You know, the old the image of the maskil who's sitting, you know, learning Masechta Shabbos, on Shabbos, smoking a cigarette, right? So as blasphemous as that is on one level, but ultimately that limud haTorah has the potential of bringing him back, as long as he's connected to Torah study. That has the ability to bring the fellow back, right? And the Aruch Chaim is saying that's mamish the derech of tshuva of Klal Yisrael. It starts with limud haTorah, even without shmiras hamitzvah.
What about tefillah?
Interesting. He doesn't bring tefillah into this equation. He doesn't bring tefillah into this equation.
Why wouldn't the shmata haTorah ask the meaning to follow
the
mitzvahs.
Right. So it depends on how you interpret the shamata. Shamata can mean to heed, you know, in the sense of obeying. Shamata can also mean this way. I think he's interpreting it as just to hear it, literally. In other words, you know, you go to nice drasha rabbi. That was a great drasha rabbi. He really told those other people off. Right, you know, so, you know, I think he's understanding the shamata b'kol, just, you know, poshut, just hearing the words without, not the sense of obeying, but just in terms of the limud haTorah. It's a tremendous chiddush, right?
You know, it's all about the college, you know, nothing to say about the college, no? It's with the Sigli. Isn't Sigli basically to hear the mitzvahs?
Again, I think you can read it either way. In other words, listen to everything that I'm commanding you today, even without necessarily adhering. Gam Omar, Alma of the Horus, also was Tarasi. He quotes the famous Gemara Nedarim, based on the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, why is it that ultimately, you know, the Churban happened the first time around, Alasim is Tarasi, because they abandoned Torah study. So therefore, if the Churban was brought about by the abandonment of Torah study, follows that the Gula can be brought about by the resumption of Torah study. But here's the Chiddush: the resumption of Torah study even without Shmiras HaMitzvahs. Meaning, when Yirmiyahu, I think the way the Gemara and the Darim and the Pasuk and Yirmiyahu classically understood is that the Jewish people were being Shomer Torah and Mitzvahs at the time of Bayis Rishon, but since they didn't either engage in Torah study or the Gemara and the Darim, Ashlo Berchu Batara Tchilo, because they didn't make Berchus HaTara, right? Their failure to learn brought about the Golos, even though they were keeping Torah and Mitzvahs. The Archaim takes that, in a certain sense, puts it on his head, and he says, it's not that they didn't learn even though they were keeping Torah and Mitzvahs, just they didn't learn. So if they do learn, even without keeping Torah and Mitzvahs, that already will bring about the Gula, will bring the Kali Yisrael back. Right. How do you fit? Yes, I don't know how you reconcile the two Gemaras, but the Gemara does say both. Or the simple chat the pasuk that he's pointing out. You know, the Gemara says Ashlo Berchu Batara Tchila. They did learn. They just didn't make a Birchas HaTorah. Simple chat in the pasuk Al Ozrim is Tarasi is just that they abandoned Limud HaTorah. I actually truth the Pashtu chat in the pasuk Al Ozrim is Tarasi is they abandoned Shmiras HaTorah. But you know, the Gemara in the Dorim certainly understands that it has something to do with Limud HaTorah, you know, which was responsible for the Churban. So he writes, Lozera, Kishyoshuva Lutabutor, Yakabsa Mashim, Yavim Alarts, Shiyoshuva Golmet. So, Limud HaTorah, even without Shmiras HaMitzvahs, will be responsible for the Gula. If the Archaim didn't say it, I'd feel uncomfortable saying it myself, but he says it. Uchenegat Shmiras HaMitzvahs, Lozera, say, Omer Umol Hashem es Levavcha. It's only after Klal Yisrael come back to Eretz Yisrael. So then the second step of tshuva happens, that the Jewish people take upon themselves to be careful with regard to Mitzvos Lo Sa'aseh. That's what it means that God is going to circumcise your heart. Yodua ki arlat ha'lev hu asos resha v'avos ha'resha shelivo shel adam achmadoso. Because what's arlat ha'lev? What's the foreskin of the heart? It's the rishus, the readiness to do acts of rishus. The second step in tshuva is going to be God will circumcise our hearts and enable us to be careful regarding los asses. And then finally, the last stage, the pasuk ches, the atos hashul v'yosiso es kol mitzvoso. Or is the mitzvah saying? That's the positive mitzvah. Right? So, a three-step process, says the Ara Chaim. First will be tshuva in terms of Talmud Torah, then tshuva in terms of mitzvah lo sa'aseh, and then ultimately tshuva in terms of mitzvah sa'aseh. Again, the takeaway point, I think, from the Ara Chaim is an astonishing point. Basically, the road to tshuva starts with Talmud Torah, even in the absence of a commitment to Shmiras HaMitzvahs. In a sense, this is the perspective of much of the Kiruv movement today, meaning much of the Hashkafa behind, I think, all elements of the Kiruv movement, especially the Litzke Shevel, but I think, you know, across the board, is that if you get them to learn, you know, even without being frum, eventually they'll become frum, because they'll be attracted. Hama'ar Shevel, Machzira Lamuto. The light within Torah will bring people back, you know, to Shmiras HaMitzvahs.
Especially
the Dafyomi. Dafyomi, right? So, again, this idea, which is not intuitive. I mean, intuitively, you would think that Talmud Torah is the higher Madrega. You would think that the Jewish people, you know, the guy eating Chazer and during Dafyomi, I mean, you would think that that's not such a gewaltige tshuva. Right? We tell the person first things first. First, stop going to McDonald's. You know, and then you can worry about learning Daf Yomi. You know, right? You know, first things first. But you know, the Arachaim is presenting a model of tshuva that starts with the Liman Hatar, because the Liman Hatar has the power to be Moshe Chesalev, to pull the person back. And ultimately, if he starts with Liman Hatar, he'll do tshuva on Mrs. Lo Sasei, and ultimately do tshuva on Mrs. Sasei as well. And that's the three-step process of tshuva, as described here in the parasha.
What do you think is that specific for that?
100%.
Would that mean that Torah basically happens to Torah ourselves rather than Torah, from the sea or from the kingdom or something like that, for someone who is trying to get it to work?
I don't know. It sounds like any part of Torah. You know, in fact, if anything, I know a lot about Julia Shivas, they doubt the start from the Zikin. Because you start teaching a guy who's not from the Kriya Shema Tefillah, he says, well, I care, I don't do any of this stuff. But you teach him, you know, there's a dispute, you know, who's Chayiv, who's Potter. So he says, look, this is logic, this I can relate to. You know, and once he's caught, you know, so to speak, by the logic of the Torah, you know, that can bring him back, you know, to a fuller Shmiras HaMitzvos. I think they tell the story, I think Pesach Kron has it in one of his books, of a fellow who spent some time at Baal Tshuva in a yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and you know, he was put in a class where the class was learning Eilu Metzius, and you know, he found it all kind of like boring, frankly. You know, I mean, this is a simon, this isn't a simon, this aveda you have to bring back, this aveda doesn't have to bring back, you know, and basically he walked away with this impression that Judaism is about, you know, these picky and little details, the arcane little details, and why would anyone ever want to be a part of this religion? You know, he was much more attracted to the Eastern religions. You know, he already signed up in his local ashram, you know, out in the Far East somewhere, and basically after spending a week or two in Yerushalayim, you know, attending this Eilu Metzius year, he decided, you know, this is not for me. I'm going out to Tibet, you know, and I'm going to sit by the feet of the masters and absorb everything they have to tell us. And then he goes out to the Far East, and he's walking with his guru one day, and the guru sees a wallet on the street. So the guru reaches over, and he picks up the wallet, and says, oh, Gevaldik! You know, this is going to support the ashram for, you know, La'ad Olomi Olomim, you know. There's a lot of cash in the wallet. So this fellow is walking with the guru, says, but, you know, there's ID in the wallet. You know, we can figure out who it belongs to. Shouldn't we try to track the person and bring it back? The guru says, what, are you crazy? You know, this is, I don't say exactly like this. He says, this is matana from the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? This is a windfall, right? We should, you know, use this to help, you know, spread the teachings, you know, whatever religion we're teaching about. And at that moment, you know, this fellow remembers the Eilu Metzius Shir. And he says, you know, the rabbis took a lot of time in Judaism to figure out, you know, how to get lost property back to its owner. At the time, I thought it was picayune and overly detail-oriented, but, you know, I see that they really had this sense of ethics and morality that, unfortunately, is not universal. So he left the ashram, he came back to the Baal Tshuva Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and, you know, lived happily ever after, you know, in the end of the story. So that's the classic story. I mean, that Liman HaTorah has the ability to bring somebody back. Even those parts of Liman HaTorah that are, you know, seemingly boring and, you know, not particularly inspiring. You know, he wasn't learning Hashkafa or, you know, anything of that nature. He wasn't learning Kabbalah, you know, just learning about giving back a lost wallet, and, you know, that did it for him. You know, that ultimately was the link that brought him back to Yiddishkeit. I see, he's saying it's different. It's in a category by itself. Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't have said this on my own, but again, that's how you set up the psukim. You know, you start the first step in truth is Liman HaTorah. fascinating.
I'm just wondering why the
so that I understand. That's the possible. I thought your question is, but there's even a step before the Sur Meirah, and that's the Lima Hatara, which in itself is a Mitzvah Saseh. So I think you're right, you know, but it's a special type of Mitzvah Saseh that's really in a category by itself. Okay, one last Nakuta from the Arachayim. Towards the end of the Pasha, says, Haidosi Bochem Ayom, Sashamayim V'Yasa'ores, I call to witness today the heavens and the earth. Hachayim V'Hamoves Nosati L'Fonecha, Havrocha V'Haklolo. I have placed life and death before you, the blessing and the curse. Bocharta V'Hachayim, L'Mantichi Atov V'Sarecha. You should choose life in order that you and your children should live. Hachayim is bothered by the fact that, first of all, you have two contrasts here that seem to be synonymous. There's Chaim and Moves, and Bracha and Klola. What's the difference between Chaim and Moves on the one hand versus Bracha and Klola on the other hand? Right? Why are they presented in the way in which they're presented? Hachayim ha-Moves nosati lefanecha, kama, ha-Bracha v'ha-Klola. And then, the second part of the pasuk, v'chayim v'chayim. We've got to go back to Chaim again. Why don't we say v'chayim v'ha-Bracha? Right? It seems that there's a certain inconsistency as we go through the pasuk. So Chaim says a yisod over here. He says there are two choices, two sets of choices that a person essentially has. Chaim Amavis Rasati L'Fanech, he says, is the choice between death and life and death in Olam Hazeh. Right, as when a person chooses to follow the mitzvahs, he's choosing what's good in Olam Hazeh. If he chooses to do Averis, he's choosing what's bad and what's going to be a punishment in Olam Hazeh. But Habracha V'Haklola is what's going to be in Olam Haba. Right, so I'm placing before you a road which has, you know, there's a fork in the road, but each fork in the road itself has two elements to it. Chaim and Bracha are not synonymous. Chaim is in this world, Bracha is in the next world. Right, Moves is in this world, Klal is in the next world. And then he says, V'chayta b'chayim. So then why does he say V'chayta b'chayim versus V'chayta b'brachas? So it says the Arachayim, which is the basic yisod. So Olam Haba is too abstract. You can't tell a person, choose Olam Haba, because we don't really relate to Olam Haba. It's beyond our immediate experience. But you tell a person, do mitzvahs that will be good for you in this world, then you can relate to it. So V'chayta b'chayim. To tell a person Bochata Bagrocha is beyond his ability to really comprehend and really grasp. And he says that's the yesod of all of the promises in the Torah. All the promises in the Torah are all this worldly. It's very little, or virtually no direct mention of otherworldly reward throughout the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And it's odd, because if you think about it, again, all the Rishonim is this kasha, right? The Rambam says, the Marshal, that you know, the reason the Torah focuses on, you know, that the rain is going to come down and that, you know, your crops are going to grow, you know, if you do what's right, says the Rambam, that's not really the reward. That's the wherewithal to enable you to do what's right. In other words, you know, to continue leading a life of Torah mitzvahs, we need to live. We need to be sustained. So, you know, if you listen to the Torah, not as a reward, but just as an enabler to sustain you, to let you continue doing what you need to do, but the reward is ultimately Olam Haba. Arachim doesn't learn that way. Arachim says, the Motar, which is promised, is really a reward. Aye, so why is the Torah focusing? I mean, when you have, you know, the reward of Olam Haba, which is beyond anything we can comprehend, so why is the Torah degrade itself by promising us reward in Olam Hazeh? So the answer is because the reward in Olam Haba is beyond anything we can comprehend. You know, we're told about the reward in Olam Haba, eternal bliss and closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for most of us, if we're really honest with ourselves, our response to that is, alright, big deal. But if you promise me a job, you know, if you promise me good things in this world, then that I can relate to. So v'chayim v'chayim, you know, when you're trying to encourage someone to do that which is right, don't promise them things that are abstract. Promise them things which are concrete, which they can relate to. You can tell them there's also an abstract benefit. But, you know, a kid comes to you and a kid says, you know, why should I do my homework? You could tell him about how ultimately it would be beneficial, you know, his life ahead of him is going to be good if he, you know, applies himself and he becomes a good person. Or you can tell him, if you do your homework, I'll give you some allowance. If you don't do your homework, you're going to get in trouble in school. The second approach tends to work better than the first approach. Because of b'chayim to b'chayim, people tend to choose that which has a concrete reward as opposed to that which has an abstract reward.
Can she explain something to Rahul in that case?
Okay, so Enochinam, I mean that, you know, the Gemara says Chaimisu Bahai Ol Maleka, which I guess he interprets to mean that you don't always get this Chaimisu in this world, but sometimes you do. Sometimes you do. In other words, you definitely have a better chance of getting rewarded in this world if you do mitzvahs, right? So, although there's no guarantee, but nonetheless, there's an increased possibility, a highly increased possibility of the person getting rewarded in this world, so... So go for it. But again, Tzadik V'ra'lo means that it doesn't always happen all the time, but the Derech Klal, or at least oftentimes, you know, Tzadik V'tovlo. You know, there is a concept that, you know, there's some degree of reward that a person gets in this world. At the very least, this I think you can read into the Aruch Chaim as well, even if a person doesn't get, you know, what we typically consider reward in a physical sense, he will get the satisfaction of leading a life which is good, which, you know, to lead a life which is filled with meaning, and, you know, the person wakes up in the morning feels good about himself, is a big reward also. It's a big reward also. It's not the Nishkan Kalena kind, you know, that the
person who dismiss.
Right. Anyway, so many, many different artists in terms of tshuva and how it works. Halavai should be zocha to take the words of the Aruch Chaim to heart. It should be shnas bracha v'yatzlacha for everybody here, for everyone who's close to everybody here, for all of Klal Yisrael. And as the shatak of the year, which the gula comes, and the zocha to see the fulfillment of all of these tzuchim. See, that's not to everybody.